and welcome. This is Christina Merkley from Make Your Mark Graphic Facilitation and Coaching. I'm on the web at www.makemark.com. And some of you may also be accessing this via my other site, which is www.shiftitcoach.com. And that site is www.shift-it-coach.com. So in August 2006, or that's what it is right now, I'm making the bold step into audio. So it's bold for me anyways, as this is a new step up in technology for me. I've always had plenty of words and pictures on my site, but now I'm going to go for sound. I know for myself when I listen to an audio program, I get a whole better, different level of understanding about a person and their topic by listening to them speak. So I hope that that's what you will experience with this program and with me and this topic of graphic recording and graphic facilitation and a little bit about graphic coaching. I am going to create a whole series of tele-interviews with colleagues in my field to help create an audio library of information. There isn't a whole lot of central information available on this really unique and wonderful field, so that's what I'm hoping to do here, do my part in kind of correcting that. So stay tuned, particularly to the Make Mark site, for more audio additions as the weeks and months unfold. These interviews will mostly be focused, as I said, on graphic recording and graphic facilitation, and that's what my Make Mark site is all about. But some of these also might be posted on Shift It Coach, just because they're interesting kind of foundational background information on the skill, on the base skill of graphic recording, which is used in the graphic coaching work that I do. Okay, so to start this series of calls off, I thought it might be helpful to just do a quick call myself and give you some of the basics as I see them and set a foundational context for some of the other calls that are going to follow. So for this first call, what I'd like to do is I just share some basic information. Much of this material is already available in article form on my website. But as discussed, sometimes it's helpful to hear things spoken as opposed to just reading them. And you get to hear my voice, which might give you another added dimension to who I am. I'm going to start this call. I'm going to cover two basic things. First off, just overall basic definitions, what this work is, what it's called, stuff like that. And then I'm going to go into, in the second part of the call, a bit about the history of the field, at least as I understand it. Obviously, there's a good cohort of us now who do this work. It's estimated about there's 80 people who worldwide make their living full-time doing either graphic recording or graphic facilitation. And I bet there's probably tens of thousands of people out there who are using the skills in some way in their other work. It might not be full-time, but it's integrated in and it's part of what they're doing. So everything that I share with you is just coming from my perspective and the information that I have available, especially when we get into the history part of things. So just take what I say with a grain of salt, and that's what I'm hoping to do with these other calls, is bring in some other people so you can get a larger perspective and also another piece of the puzzle by listening to other folks who have different views and histories and experiences than I do. Okay, so that's what I'll also follow up a separate call after this. People often ask me, Christina, how did you get into this work and what's your path? And also, any guidance that you can help me. I found this work. I think it's fascinating, and I really want to do more of it. Tell me how. So the second call that I'll do myself is I'll answer some of those questions. I'll share my particular story as it's been over the last, over a decade now of this work and how I found it, kind of stumbled into it, and how it unfolded for me. And I'll also share just ideas about how you can do the same depending on what your entry point is. Okay, so with no further ado, I will be going through the overview and kind of basic definitions of the field and also the history. As I go through this, you might find it useful to go to the www.makemarks.com site, and on the articles and audio page, there are a series of articles, and I'm basically going to cover, there's one entitled Meeting Graphics 101, Overview and Basic Definitions. That's what I'm going to start with, and then History and Evolution of the Graphic Facilitation and Graphic Recording Field. That's the second one. So it might be worth your while to pull those down and have them in front of you as I go through this. Or not, whatever works for you. Okay, so just kind of some interactive graphics 101, if you will. I'd like to give you a snapshot of at least how I understand it and how I think about it. There are four main areas of doing this work, and I think it's useful to kind of hear the terms and have some understanding of the terms of the field before I talk further about it and before I engage with other professionals, so that you at least understand the kind of basic definitions that most of us use. I use a chart in my, I do a class, a very basic introductory class called Meeting Graphics 101, and in it I've created this big 4x8 matrix chart to explain these four different areas. And in this Meeting Graphics 101 article on the site, you can see a reduction of that chart. And basically, if you don't have it in front of you, I'll just describe it. It's a chart that has kind of four different category areas. One is custom chart work on the far left-hand side. The next, moving towards the right, is graphic recording. And then on the far side is graphic facilitation, and then followed by graphic coaching. And if you will, there's a ruler or a gauge working across these four different category areas. On the left side with the custom chart work, it's very high in terms of pushing information and working across graphic recording into graphic facilitation and graphic coaching, you're getting more pull of information. So this is an interactivity gauge, which means your interactivity with your the meeting, the people that you're working with, the participants, changes depending on what kind of methodology that you're using. So more of this will make sense as we go along and describe it. So what is custom chart work? This is work that's done primarily in a studio. So, you know, somewhere where you've got a nice big wall and you're preparing large size materials to be used in a meeting or some sort of gathering. Designers, graphic illustrators, other types of paper and web design professionals may be involved in producing these materials. Often these are really basic materials that are prepared ahead of time for a meeting. For example, there might be welcome posters, or if you're using some sort of model or system, those might be drawn up ahead of time. Process maps, agenda charts, templates, all of these different materials can be prepared ahead of time. No pressure, no stress, you're just yourself working at a wall pre-preparing materials. And also, in addition to materials that are going to be used in a meeting, there's also a lot of custom chart work that involves maybe taking raw, rough data from a meeting or some sort of telephone call or some other method that you've kind of extracted information from a group of people. Then you take that raw data and you turn it around in something, you know, more structured, more wowy. And common examples are things like change maps or vision maps or strategic planning game plans. If you're new to this field, you might have encountered some really fantastic-looking documents that are, you know, gorgeous and very highly drawn out. Chances are that's a custom chart work job as opposed to something that was created live in the moment. So for new folks, just know that there is a whole category of this work that is done offline. It doesn't mean all this stuff is done instantly live. Sometimes I know that can take a lot of pressure off and, you know, bring relief to go, oh, okay, that person just didn't create that spontaneously. Now, talking about spontaneous creation, that's where we're moving into this second category of graphic work, interactive graphic work, called graphic recording. Some people might call it scribing, visual synthesis. I've heard different terms like that. The words and lingo that I was grokked in and that I use are called graphic recording. So graphic recording is moving slightly up a notch in terms of interactivity. Graphic recorders, at least in the most traditional sense of the word or the medium, are flies on the wall with really large ears, okay? While in a group setting, now this is done in conferences, meetings, dialogue sessions, world cafes, etc. While in those group settings, a graphic recorder silently listens to what is going on around her or him and instantaneously translates it into a graphic summary or a graphic recording is what it's called. The tools are normally really large wall-sized sheets of paper, and obviously, using markers, using her brain, using her creativity. What's going on is that she's depicting the essence and energy of what is coming out of the group that she's beside. Graphic recorders can only be expected to capture and translate very high-level and general kinds of information on their own. So it's really good for loose discussions, or if there's a big meeting and there's different keynote speakers coming up and talking, other kinds of structured presentations, that's really great for graphic recording. If you want to capture more detailed information, it's very important to integrate graphic recorders in with a structured facilitation. And that's where you're starting to really move into the next category or genre of this work, which is graphic facilitation. So let me talk. I hope I'm not losing anybody. So there's custom chart work where you're just creating stuff in a studio either before or after working with people. And there's graphic recording where you're coming in and you're working off to the side of the group and you're doing your best to synthesize what's going on and you're creating displays. It can vary depending on the professional. Some people are very word-based. Other people are very visual-based, and other people are somewhere in between. I kind of have a blend of both in my work when you look at my portfolio and you see my style. So I have a lot of icons, and I have other different formats and shapes that help to make it visual. Other people might have completely visual, and I hope to have some of those people on those conference calls that I've talked about so that you can hear some of the different ways that people approach the work. There normally is a line for graphic recording where the recorder isn't too verbal. So normally if they are involved in some sort of verbalness with the group, it's through or in connection with a lead facilitator. Doesn't have to be the case, but that's just been the way I've seen the work kind of emerge and happen quite a lot. So that's a graphic recording, and graphic recorder is the role. Let's talk a bit about the next step of things, which is graphic facilitation. So in graphic facilitation, we're continuing to move along this spectrum of interactivity. We're really getting into some good pull of information, meaning you're working in kind of a co-creative way with everybody in the room. And the graphics are really front and center, so everybody's eyeballs are kind of geared toward the graphics. Now, sometimes people don't understand this, and a graphic recorder will come into the room, and they think that they're actually going to be doing graphic facilitation, and people are confused about why this person seems so intent on having everybody look at their work. And that's really not what's going on. What it's about is graphic facilitation is kind of this other entity or this other animal, if you will, where it's dependent on everybody co-creating the murals and the displays together, as opposed to when you're a graphic facilitator you're off on your side and you're doing your own best take, and you're hired because you know the group likes the take or the suit that you have. Graphic facilitation is really different, or it's subtly different, because what's happening there is the participants are actually telling the recorder what to write and where. And it's normally very highly facilitated. So, for example, I'm a graphic recorder or graphic facilitator, which means I do both recording and facilitation at the same time. And so when I'm doing that with a group, I'll have displays all set up ready to capture certain kinds of information. For example, we might be doing a SWOT analysis or something, or on what are the strengths and weaknesses and, you know, opportunities and threats of an organization. I'll have a grid mapped out on the wall, and I'll work with the group. I'll ask them the question, so what are your strengths? And then popcorn style, we'll hear everybody's different ideas of what strengths are, and as they're writing and talking, or as they're talking this out, I'm synthesizing, I'm writing it down front and center, right in front of all those eyeballs, course correcting as I go to make sure I'm getting everybody's language down, and I ask them, so where does this go? Where do you want this? Let's go now to threats. What goes in this area? And do you get it about how we're building this chart together? So it's a subtle distinction, but a powerful one. I want to talk a bit about, so graphic facilitation is the combination of structured type facilitation with graphic recording or scribing. These two separate roles can be performed by the same person or be split into two positions. A common scenario is to have a lead facilitator paired with one or more graphic facilitators or graphic recorders. The lead facilitator handles the upfront contracting and process design with the client, as well as the in-the-front-of-the-room facilitation of the event. The recorder, or the recorders, if it's multiple, they coordinate with that facilitator and they create pre-prepared materials and perform recording or scribing duties throughout the agenda. The facilitator and those recorders work together as a team to pull information from the participants and collect that thinking real-time into emergent displays. So, as I said, I'm kind of a rare animal myself. There's probably just a handful of us who do the roles together. So they do them at the same time, facilitate a meeting and draw and record it all out, all in the one person. We're kind of freaks of nature. But it's very common to see graphic facilitation teams. So there'll be, again, a facilitator and one or more recorders working together. And that team together are collectively providing the service of graphic facilitation, okay, which is different from graphic recording. The great thing about whether you're any of this work, from the custom charts to the recording and to the facilitation, is that it's a visual method. So it's created live, it's created in front of folks' eyes for the most part, and then because it's visual and because we have all this amazing technology nowadays, we can create all sorts of documents using digital cameras, using scanning equipment to create digital renditions of these charts, which can be worked in all sorts of communication mediums, from basic reports, bound reports, to digital reports, to worked into all sorts of promotional materials. Some of the imagery might be worked into like things like coffee mugs or T-shirts or banners. It's not unusual sometimes to get large things printed up, kind of billboard size. So it's a very powerful method because you have all this thinking and all this great product that comes out of a graphically facilitated meeting that you can turn around and share. So not only do you have a memory device for the people who are there in the room, they've got these small reductions of the big charts to look and, you know, interact with, you also are then able to take those materials and share it with other people who weren't in the room and kind of do a communications campaign and help share what was agreed upon or decided upon in this meeting. And you're sharing it in a visual way. And we all know the adage, a picture is worth a thousand words. So it's a very powerful way to work. And just think about how different this visual material looks than your standard report that comes out of the meeting that oftentimes, you know, people aren't too thrilled to actually go back and read. So that's, you know, that's a real power not only of working live in the room, but of what you can do with the materials that are generated live afterwards. One quick thing to mention, too, about the output from graphic facilitating. Graphic facilitating, because so much is going on in the room, particularly if it's only one person doing the role, it tends to be less pictorial and, you know, pretty pictureness and more word-oriented than maybe some of the stuff that's produced by custom graph or custom mapping or graphic recording. So just know it has normally a different look to it, normally templates. Most of the information may have been captured in pre-prepared templates or forms. And more of the heavy picturing may happen before or after the meeting in custom charts. Okay, and last but not least, let me talk a bit about my passion area, which is graphic coaching. Graphic coaching is a new genre that I, and I'm guessing there's probably other people around the globe who are doing this too, I've really begun to kind of create this new niche where I'm using the graphic way of working, but I'm taking it into the realm of the individual. So as coaching, life coaching and business coaching is emerging as its whole new field, for the last 6 years or so, you know, as I have gotten my coach training and I'm also a hypnotherapist and have other kinds of interesting training, as I'm taking these training, and because I am a graphic person, it's only been really natural for me to bring this visual way of working into the realm of the individual. So my passion area for the last 6 years has really been working with one-to-one with people. Sometimes I'll work with business partners or couples, a lot of entrepreneurial couples, and use the graphics with them in a very intimate setting, helping them think about their lives, about their businesses. I might be, you know, working with a CEO or an entrepreneur and giving them some real quiet, reflective, powerful time with the graphics to pull out what's going inside of them, reflect it back to them, and help them make decisions and chart out where they want to go in their work and their lives. So it's a very exciting area, at least I think so, and really love doing it. And the same, you know, power and best practices that occur in the group work can now be applied for working with individuals in a graphic way. So some really fun stuff. And that's, I had mentioned my Shift-It Coach site. That's what I've done with my work, all of the group work, so graphic recording and graphic facilitation. That work is all on the makemark.com site. And I've branched out and broken out my graphic coaching work all onto its own unique site called shiftitcoach.com. And have created a product line and, you know, and beginning to train and teach other coaches and other, like, therapists and consultants and those sorts of professionals how to use graphics in these kind of more intimate settings. So that should give you some sense of the four different areas that graphic work, interactive graphics, gets applied to. Again, there's, you know, a good cohort of us who work in these different categories, and we all have our unique style and our unique personality and our ways of being and doing. So there's great range. there's a lot of variety, a lot of different styles, a lot of different philosophies about the work, and I think that's what makes this field so unique and creative and powerful. So with giving you that kind of upper level introduction to the four different main areas, I'd like to spend the rest of this call, it's probably going to be another 20 minutes or so, just talking about the history and the evolution of this field. Again, if you want to follow along, I've written a pretty lengthy article on the Make Mark articles page called The History and Evolution of the Graphic Facilitation / Recording Field. And again, one big caveat, you know, this is one person's interpretation from the information that she, me, has been able to gather. So know that, other people have different views about this, have different experiences. I've done my best to collect this into a central place. And it's just my kick at the can. So, you know, I hope it's valuable and, you know, take it for what it's worth. So I wrote this article because when I'm out there doing my thing, whatever it might be, in terms of I'm out charting or I'm recording or I'm facilitating or I'm doing coaching work, people inevitably, you know, are fascinated and they're asking, wow, I never knew this existed, and how did you get into this, and where does this come from? And I won't go into my personal story on this call. I will for a later call. But I will share what I know about how this work has emerged over the years and how it came to be and a little bit about where I see it going, at least from this point in time. So where did this way of working come from, and what are the historical roots of the field? let's see. I say in this article, the dawn of this new millennium, there's a growing field of visual practitioners moving steadily across the international landscape, comprised of people calling themselves graphic facilitators, graphic recorders, visual synthesizers, map makers, and the like. These people are all using visual approaches with varying levels of interaction to assist groups and individuals in thinking, communicating, sharing, and making decisions. Where to start? I mean, the history of art is obviously ancient, and so the power of working graphically in groups of people has a very, very long history. It's an ancient one, obviously borne out by hieroglyphics and the cave drawings of old. Human beings have tapped into the enormous power of drawing to communicate for eons, and you know, it's a cliche, a picture is worth a thousand words, for a simple reason, because it's true. And if a picture is worth a thousand words, then a visual metaphor is worth a thousand pictures. It's just that powerful. And I think I got that from David Sibbett reading some of his early work. Few things communicate feeling, tone, and directive as much as a well-composed image loaded with shared meaning and subtext. Imagery as a communication aid worked for our early ancestors, and it continues to work for us now in the modern world. In fact, with the rise of modern technology, the simple hand-drawn graphic can bring a measure of calm and humanity that is sorely needed in our fast-paced, hyper-computerized world. It really adds a high-touch element to our high-tech world. A very wonderful woman, Leslie Salmon Jew, who has been a graphic recorder for 21 years. There's a quote that she gave in a magazine article a couple years ago, and I think it is quite precious. So here's what Leslie has to say. Graphic recorders are modern day cave artists, visionaries, scribes, teachers, learners, illuminators, and historians. All keepers of the precious written word and imaginings of voices and hearts. Our practice has roots in ancient traditions of paying attention, reflecting, recording, and remembering for the future. We help bring ideas forward. We help collaboration, help direct the light to the individual and the collective wisdom in this world. So obviously at a very high, beautiful level. Here's another quote, just kind of helping to set the context of visuals in the larger, the larger context of art and kind of humanity's evolution. Since Gutenberg and the onset of typewriters, publishing houses, and telecommunications, the job of providing cultural group memory and preserving core imagery has widened into an industry. In historical terms, we are now at a point where information itself has become such a vast frontier that charting a path across it or reflecting that path for another is a dizzying task. People are in great need of tools, technologies, and frameworks for thinking, which can hold information faithfully and facilitate its assimilation for successful applications. That's coming from one of the premier pioneers of this field, David Sibbett, who quoted from his book, A Brief History of Group Visuals. So that gives you the kind of the ancient history to this field that is kind of built on. Let me kind of fast forward you up to the 1960s and 70s of our last century here. The modern use of visual approach to assist learning and group interactions really heated up in the San Francisco Bay Area during the 60s and 70s. I mean, what a hotbed San Francisco was for everything during that time. And this whole creation of this new field was no exception. The area was very rich, intellectual environment where people from many different fields were breaking through to different levels of thought and understanding. There was just so much going on around architecture, film, social change, the beginnings of computing and artificial intelligence. All of this was happening. It was just a hotbed. So all sorts of people were working in the Bay Area at that time on ways to help human beings learn and interact more effectively together. And in the late 1970s, facilitation itself began to emerge as a field. So it came out of arbitration, mediation, and negotiation. These were all kind of their own unique fields. And it started to become apparent that we needed to get impartial leaders of group process, and hence the term facilitators and facilitation started to really pop out as its own unique category. Some famous names during that period, Michael Doyle and Peter Strauss, both former architects. They launched Interaction Associates, IA, and wrote a seminal book, The Yellow Bible, for the budding facilitation field called How to Make Meetings Work. Many of you may have encountered this book or have a dog-eared copy of it. I know I've certainly seen it around when I was first coming up in the field, and it's still available on Amazon. Their work was stimulated by a lot of research also going on in the education and social change realm. Particularly, there was a project called Tools for Change that was sponsored by the Carnegie Foundation. And also a lot of creativity work happening with SRI, which is the Stanford Research Institute, also down in that area. And at the heart of this work, at least with Doyle and Strauss, they really kind of coined these facilitator and recorder teams, really helping to manage personal dynamics and the thinking of groups. When I come to the call of, I interviewed Leslie Sam and Drew not too long ago, and Leslie got her beginnings with IA, and she talks about working with Michael Doyle and being taken around the world, working on these very large meetings where he would employ, five or six recorders at a time. So this is kind of the time that a lot of this work was happening, and a lot of people in the field, at least kind of the, an older wave, an older generation in the field, really, learned their stuff working with these, Michael Doyle, who was kind of an early pioneer as well. A couple of other people to mention during this time Architects are really big in the facilitation field. A lot of the early pioneers were architects. Doyle and Strauss were, also two other fellows, Jeff Ball and Doug Engelbart of at SRI. They've been working on this, as I understand it, and having done the research in a couple different places, they were working on a project called Explicit Group Memory. And another fellow, another architect, Joe Brunin, created an approach that he termed and called generative graphics. And another, actually an art student this time, art and philosophy, Fred Lakin, was doing a lot of experimentations with tools, visual tools, like pegboards and magic marker holders and wall scrolls and large butcher paper, all this kind of stuff. And I understood that Fred Lakin moved into telephone and web facilitation technologies later in his career. Anyway, so all these architects are really getting together in the Bay Area around the 70s and starting to create this new way of working, facilitation as a field, but also starting to bring in some graphics and some visuals using kind of large pieces of paper or even just cut-up paper to help people see their thinking so they can interact with it. Now, somebody at least important in my world was also there, David Sibbett, who's quite a well-known name, and who, you know, is I guess, recognized as coining the word group graphics. If he's not recognized for that, he has trademarked it, so it's his. He was the first one to the trademark office. But David Sibbett in the 70s was a journalist grad, and he just happened to be the head of a foundation called CORO. It's a public affairs leadership program in San Francisco, and he was just down the hall from all places, Interaction Associates. So CORO would have these different fellows who were out doing their projects in different areas of the city, and they'd come back each Friday afternoon or whatever and report out on their project. And David was having a heck of a time kind of getting people to appreciate how all these different things fit together. So how the ones at City Hall were somehow connected to the students who were working at the utilities or, you know, whatever it might be. And the story, as it's been passed down to me, because I actually ended up working for David early on in my career with his company, it eventually merged into the Grove Consultants International. So I've kind of sat at the master's knees and heard this story a couple of times. The epiphany was that one afternoon he grabbed this big, large scroll that Fred Lakin had set up for Interaction Associates, and he whipped up this large sheet of paper, and David has an art background, and he's also a journalist. So he's got that reporter's instinct. And he started to map out all these different things that his students were reporting on so that they could really see the big picture or the full system of what was going on in the city of San Francisco that they were all working in. So this is kind of the aha breakthrough moment, at least for David Sibbett's niece of the world and those of us who have been influenced by the San Francisco area pioneers. And, you know, he kind of inadvertently spawned this new way of working. So from that very first exciting afternoon, David kind of caught that group graphics bug and continued to learn from the researchers around him, explore with his students. And he eventually left CORO and formed his own consultancy and held, you know, the first public workshop along with Jeff Ball, who's been mentioned, and Sandra Florstead, another early pioneer, and, you know, started to work this into a systemized way of thinking and working and train other people on how to do it. So here we have this hotbed in the 70s and different architects and things emerging facilitation-wise, and that now the big paper and the icons and the visuals being integrated in, and David Sibidin Associates has been formed, and David and Jeff Ball and other folks, Sandra, are really starting to work this into a methodology and share it and kind of develop and train others. Obviously, there's other social and, you know, visual innovators going on across the ocean. Tony Buzan, the creator of mind mapping, a lot of his work was happening around left and right brain and helping with learning and how to work with the brain's natural tendency to organize things and branching patterns. So, you know, a lot of good stuff was happening. The 80s consulting boom certainly continuing along had a big effect on this field. Interaction Associates was very involved with consulting at that time, as were, you know, a lot of the other big consulting firms emerging. And not that this is a very well-known or huge way of working, but it was happening at that time and happening from that core in California and kind of spreading outwards. And David Sibbett created a new company called Graphic Guides Incorporated, and as I said, that company eventually morphed into the Grove Consultants, and the Grove is now based in a beautiful building in the Presidio in San Francisco. I was hired on with them just right out of grad school. I was studying organizational development and transformation and was lucky enough to talk my way into an internship and use their methods in my thesis project, and, you know, I've been hooked ever since. So I was lucky enough to come in just when David was productizing a lot of his work. The thing with David is he's a journalist, and he knows how to write, and he knows how to structure things. He's also a student of Arthur Young's process theory, and David has a mind that knows how to categorize and structure things and systematize them, and which works very well for product development and very well for training other people. So he's done a lot in helping to break the skill set down so other people can really get it and understand it and take it and work it into new ways of working. So that's what the Grove's been about, and their website is www.grove, like a grove of trees, grove.com. Have some wonderful tools. I use them a lot in my facilitation practice, the strategic visioning line. In my portfolio on the Make Mark site, a lot of the stuff in the graphic facilitation side of the portfolio is filled out templates from David's line of products. So you can buy the product ahead of time and then use it in your group. Saves a lot on time, and they just, you know, they look very sharp. They're very good. And he has a full suite of support materials, kind of little owner's manuals, if you will, that walk you as a facilitator or as a consultant, walk you step by step through how to use these different templates. And he's taken the best practices from strategic planning and visioning and kind of rolled them all up into a visual way of doing them that are very user-friendly and very effective. David's also created, he's quite well known for the team performance model, along with Alan Drexler. That was some of the work that came out of the 80s as well. So he's got some really fantastic products, as do his, you know, team of folks at the Grove. There's also, you know, there's a lot of people out in this field. I don't know all of them, but one I do know of is Jim Channon, who I was able to interview, so you'll be able to see his interview later on in the site. And Jim was tucked away in the American military and did some fascinating things when he was a reconnaissance scout in Vietnam, very intense, obviously, situations, that kind of gave birth to his graphic skills. And Jim, at this kind of same time in the 70s and 80s, was also doing a lot of consulting work and outworking with some of the big companies and starting to do visual visions. So not just vision work, but actually the graphics And a lot of the stuff that we see nowadays, you know, that was kind of cutting edge at that time of not only doing vision work, but doing in a graphic or visual way. So some really interesting stuff in that interview with Jim Shannon that I hope you'll have a chance to listen to. I think the next big wave, this is where I kind of come into the work, it's in the 90s. It's kind of like the third wave or the third evolution. And in this article on history, I've talked about it, kind of the 100th monkey syndrome, where things start to really pop up. And a lot of folks are cluing into this visual way of working and are using it in a lot of interesting ways. The big consulting and accounting firms were really starting to get into the act, especially, you know, the mid-90s. The big consulting giant, Capgemini, Ernst & Young, when they came together, they had special facilities built to really capitalize on this tool. So they had these hubs in 10 different cities in North America and some in Europe and one in Australia. I'm hoping to do a call with Peter Durant from AlphaChimp. And Peter, that's kind of where he comes from work. I think it was with Gemini. And hopefully we'll have him explain the fascinating work that they were all doing. And then what happened when some of these big consulting firms have split up and these pools of professionals that they brought together, where they've gone as they've been kind of spread far and wide and are continuing to work the visual methods in different ways. So a lot happening, and their centers are really focusing on creative change management, strategic planning, visioning, facilitation, illustration. And they also had, and this is something I want to talk to Peter about too, a lot of computing and tech solutions specialists coming together. So these folks really know how to work, not just in the room, really good facilitation, really good change management principles, really good visuals, but they really know how to do it using technology, of how to digitize, how to work this stuff, how to get it around to virtually distributed teams, and have a lot of big bucks technology behind them. So very fascinating stuff. Very quickly, I'll just bring you up to date as I know it. All this good stuff is happening. People are kind of spread far and wide. It's very unique work, and it's often done solo. So if you're a graphic recorder or a graphic facilitator, you're on the road, especially when you're busy. You rack up a lot of air miles, and you're flying around, and you often don't see your other colleagues unless some sort of large job comes up where you're all kind of pooled together, which doesn't happen that often. So In the later part of the 90s, there were two women who, you know, are great professionals in this field, Leslie Salmon-Jew and Susan Kelly. And there are probably others around the table, too, so forgive me if I'm not mentioning your names. But as I understand, these two were just kind of lamenting, like, wow, we're doing all this great stuff, and we never get a chance to come together and share and collaborate and talk about what we're learning and just, you know, debrief with each other, and there's not really a community, you know, outside of the odd cocktail party that we might host with one another. So frustrated by that lack of community and having a forum, the two of these fantastic women got together and really rallied themselves and others. And what they did was in 1995, they had the first informal gathering of visual practitioners. And I wasn't there for this one. I was there for the year after. But the first one had 17 graphic recorders and facilitators at a ranch in Northern California. And that was the first conference for the what later became known as the International Forum of Visual Practitioners, IFVP. And it has since grown. We have about 100 core members. I say we, I'm a member of it. And there's also an annual conference. In 2000, the International Forum of Visual Practitioners became an official association, and it's now led by a rotating volunteer board. The website is www.ifvp.org. I, International, F, Forum, V, Visual, Practitioners.org. So IFVT.org. And that site is totally run by volunteers, and the conference is totally run by volunteers, and is just a really great place to get together and exchange ideas. There's a list, a distributed list server on there, so you can sign up for it. You can get news on what's going on in the community. You can get news on the conference, and it's just a great way that we as a community link together and, you know, share and dialogue with one another. Even though we're all off doing our own thing, it's really nice to connect by email occasionally and do a couple shout outs to each other and share what we're learning or new resources that we come up with and just, you know, interesting things that we might be discovering about the work. So if you're at all interested in this field, I would suggest checking out the ifvt.org site, signing up for the listserv, and keeping track. We don't get a whole lot of traffic on it, but you can keep track that way and learn more. And by all means, please come to the conference. It's been a couple of years since I've gone there myself because I'm up in Canada now, and they're usually held in Southern California, but well worth it, especially if you're new to the field and you want to get to know people. There's no substitute for face-to-face, so it's really normally a very lovely gathering. You can continue on and read through the article. I have a couple of links in there about some technological breakthroughs. There are, obviously, we've got digital cameras, and we've got large-scale printers and scanners now that make the kind of post-reproduction end of things much easier. Thank the Lord. It was very difficult. I remember David Sibbett telling stories of how he used to hand-draw everything after doing it live. You know, he'd sit there after the meeting and draw it all out again, small, if you can imagine. So things have come such a far ways, and now we have digital cameras and I pack digital cameras with me when I do my work, and I photograph it while it's still up in the wall. And there's some very simple, and some of them are even free, photo editing programs. So go to that article, and I list them there where you can click through and find them. There's also a vendor, Landau, L-A-N-D-A-U, Landau Art. I'll just do a little shout-out to them. Jessica and Julian, a wonderful couple. And they specialize in the reproduction needs of graphic recorders and graphic facilitators. So they have beautiful high-end scanners that you can send them your big charts, and they will scan them for you and send them on to clients and do all sorts of wonderful things. So there's a lot of stuff happening in this field. It's really bursting out. It's gone on into different kind of mutations, if you will. People are doing work in web documentation. There's lots happening in graphic planning. A lot of folks working with some that I could mention for communication campaigns, story mapping, social architecture. It's just really some interesting stuff in the field. Specialty-wise, there's graphic applications for strategic visioning, for scenario work, for focus groups and product development. I've got my stuff all around graphic coaching. I know of a woman who has a visual product line around disaster response. Global Business Network has it around scenarios. So there's really some fantastic tools that are being developed that can help you, particularly if you don't think of yourself as an artist or you're put off or afraid of the art side of this. There are a lot of fantastic tools that are already pre-created that you can purchase and use to help weave graphics into your work in very user-friendly ways. So please know that there's a lot of good stuff out there. And I guess I would just end on, this new millennium and beyond, that the future looks very bright. I'll be asking this question of all the different people I'll be interviewing of where do you see the field going and what do you think is happening or where it's going to go? And all I can say is that it just seems to be growing, particularly with the internet, and we're finding each other now, and we know to put in graphic facilitation or graphic recording into the search engines, and it's popping up our links, and we're finding each other. We're really uniting, and clients are becoming more and more aware of this work and are seeking it out, and technology is evolving and developing. So at least with where I sit and the kinds of people who interact with me, I get folks from all over the world who connect with me. And I'm hearing about stuff in Australia, in England, in Denmark, in Germany, Scandinavia, United Kingdom, obviously Canada, where I am, Taiwan. I had a woman contact me from South Africa yesterday. So it's all over the place, and I think it's really amazing. I'm very proud and glad to be part of this very unique and creative field. So there you go. We're at about an hour. So that gives you the overall basics in terms of kind of the four different areas or applications of the work, and gives you a rough overview of the history of the field. Thanks for listening. I'm certainly approachable if you want to drop me any emails about how you're finding the materials on the site or you have any questions. And please just stay tuned for more calls and more interviews and more good information. So all the best, and get out there and use those markers. Take care.